I get to read from Scripture once again, this time from the New Testament. This is going to sound really familiar, and it's going to sound even more familiar before we're all done with this. This is Matthew chapter 6. Just verses 9 and 10. Once again, hear God's word. The words of Jesus, actually. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sounds really abnormal to stop there, doesn't it? But that's what I'm going to do, because that way you'll just keep coming back for more. Hear the rest of it. We'll finish it over the next few weeks. It's amazing how much there really is to the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Again, I've heard, as I've mentioned before, some people could refer to this as the disciples' prayer because, well, he's telling the disciples how to pray. He's telling you, each of us, how to pray. So today we do carry on our look at the Lord's Prayer. We are to pray for the person of God to go through these, because last week we took a slight detour as we began the celebration of this church's 175th anniversary. But now we return to the main path, which is what that 175th anniversary is all about, preaching the Word of God, teaching people how to be, more like Christ, which is our job. So, as a brief review, we're to pray for the person of God, our Father. We're to pray that His name would be hallowed, and we talked about what hallowed means. That's one of those things that, I don't know, in the middle of the night when I wake up and can't quite get back to sleep and I start to pray, and I start thinking, hallowed, hallowed. But as I always say, if you missed that one, it's available for $14.95. The price went down. It's okay. We're also to pray for the program of God that His kingdom will come. And now, as we pick up the sequence, we're to pray for the purpose of God, that your will be done. Or as almost everyone memorizes it, and as we say it and will say it later on in our service, thy will be done. That His will is accomplished on earth just the same as it is in heaven. Kind of interesting. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I've known a lot of little kids, and I was one a while ago. But little kids can misunderstand really common phrases or common names or things that they hear in school or something doesn't sound quite right. I knew a kid that he heard about the book, Don Quixote, okay? And the way it was said, he decided it meant Don Quixote. Or he kind of thought it was a story of some adventures about some donkey named Jote, apparently. So kids can misunderstand things. And what about guerrilla warfare? How many people had a mind's eye picture of large apes with machine guns? I can't be the only one. It can't be. There was also a man who said his hairline was receding. And the kid said, receding? As in like seeds are being put in. The kid said, well, hopefully it doesn't seed too much. I mean, you don't want to look like a werewolf, although some of us wouldn't mind by comparison. And on a more recent level, there was a kid who heard her mom talk about watching something on pay-per-view. She said, pay-per-view? Why would you want to watch it on, why don't you watch it on television? It'd be a lot better than watching it on paper. We can hear a lot of funny things when we hear words. And I know a lot of kids hear the King James Version of the Lord's Prayer and they'll hear, instead of thy, they'll hear, my will be done. Well, who isn't on board with that? The problem is, God might not be on board with that. The problem is that many adults still seem to think that their own will is the point of the prayer. And isn't it easy to do that? A lot of adults will think that it's kind of the point of life, is that my will would be done. which I think is precisely why that's here in this prayer. When you look at the whole sentence in the last part of Matthew 6, verse 10, it says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," or "as in heaven, so on earth," depending on your version. Kind of an interesting thing to hear. So we are to ask for heaven and its motives, heaven and its realities, heaven and the interactions that occur there, and the way that the heart moves, and the absence of pain and suffering, the absence of anger and distress and sickness, that those things would be a part of earth. And God says eventually that does happen. It's kind of an interesting thing, though. That God's purposes would be fulfilled here just the way they are in heaven. Identical. Heavenly. Heaven and earth will one day be joined together, but until then, we should pray that the things of heaven are done here and that we would be part of them. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? Well, I don't think you're here if you don't want to be a part of that. Praying for God's will to be done is supposed to be the basis for our prayers then. But we often get it backwards. It's easy to pray as if we expect God to change His plans because we've submitted our requests in triplicate. This prayer is kind of, I guess, at its worst, treating God like a genie in a lamp. And you rub the lamp and poof. We rub it the right way. We say the right words. We make a wish. And we expect God maybe to change the universe and His plan to give us what we want. That sounds so wrong when you say it out loud, doesn't it? Prayer is not about getting God to do my will. It is asking that God's will, I mean, the words are quite clear. It's asking that God's will would be done here in my life, in my family, my job, my work, my interactions, my relationships, just the way it's done in heaven. So if we want the things of heaven to be done on earth, we have to submit to what the Lord will do here, don't we? And that's where it becomes more difficult. When the purposes of heaven are fulfilled here, it may mean that He will take us through things that are uncomfortable or unpleasant. And what happens at those times? You know, you've had them. What happens at those times? We have a choice, don't we? We will let Him use circumstances in our lives to make us more like Him or not. It sounds so simple, but it's so difficult. I mean, think about it. Joseph, sold into slavery by his own brothers, gets one difficulty after another, and yet God still was revealing different things to him, wasn't He? Kind of interesting when you think about it. You ever think about what it must have been like for David to have been there and maintain his faith? I mean, think about it. He ran away and into prison, essentially, from Potiphar's wife because he still, even after all this, he still wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He made the choice. Sounds so simple. It looks so simple in retrospect in other people's lives, doesn't it? The reality is that either way in our choice, God's will is going to be done on earth because He's still sovereign. He is going to be glorified through what happens. I just think I want to be on the right side. So to pray, "Thy will be done," is to ask God to do what He desires. I mean, it's a little silly on one level when you say it out loud. After all, we're praying to the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. All He had to do was speak, and something existed that never did before. that matter came into being, and with it he made all this. It isn't a matter of God just said, took some dirt and said, hey, you know, I think I'll make, no, he made everything from scratch. And the interesting thing is, he didn't even have to say it out loud. Could have just thought it in creation. So on one level, for us to pray to the God that created everything, that your will would be done, is silly. But it isn't. We know that his sovereign decree will be accomplished, whether or not we pray for it. But there's another aspect of God's will, which we call his revealed or his preceptive will. This is God's will that he has revealed to us, but he doesn't force on us. For example, God's will is that we speak the truth in love, as we read in Ephesians 4:15. God's will is that we don't commit adultery or get drunk. So when we pray, thy will be done, we are asking God to increase righteousness in the world. Do you think of it that way? Isn't that interesting? So when we pray that, we're asking that God's righteousness would prevail in more and more and more situations, and that it would further the cause of the kingdom of God and of the cause of Jesus Christ to be here. And we're asking to be part of it. I want to be part of that. Don't you? I do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Abba, Father, that intimate Father word in Aramaic. And he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Mark 14:36, you know the story. Jesus faced his upcoming suffering on the cross, faced his death, faced his brutal treatment by praying that it might be taken away from him. Fair enough. Moment of weakness, humanity. One of those places where we see that Jesus truly is human. Instead of letting fear overwhelm him and letting him sink into a sense of despair and fatalism, Jesus dropped to his knees and prayed. And isn't that what we get to do? And it ends with, Father, not my will, but your will. We can follow his example. We can humbly submit our worries and our concerns into our Heavenly Father's hands. We can trust that God will be with us to help us through whatever we must endure. Have you read some of the stories about people who had really horrid travails? I don't know. I read a lot of history. I've read stories about guys who were in POW camps and the treatment that they got there. And that some people, even in that, came to great faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You know, where a lot of people would be in the position that they would simply reject the idea and say, well, this isn't fair. But no, they see that it goes farther than just the moment. They see that God's will is that you and I become more and more like Christ, that we rely on him more often for more things, for all things, all the time, actually. So we humbly submit these things. We can trust that God will be with us to help us through these times. When we want something desperately too, choosing God's will over our own isn't always an easy feat. We can see all the advantages of what we want, right? Fair enough. Maybe they are. Maybe it is the right thing. I don't know. God the Son, though, understands better than anyone just how difficult this choice can be, and we see that at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus called us to follow him. He called us to learn obedience through suffering, just as he had for himself. So when you pray, go ahead, pray honestly, pray for those things. God understands our weaknesses. Jesus understands our human struggles. How many times have you prayed, I can think of many times I've prayed for something, and then only in retrospect I realize, boy, it's a good thing you didn't give me that. I can't be the only one that happened to. So lay down that stubborn, fleshly will. The goal is that we submit to God, that we want His goals for our lives. And, oh, by the way, as a point of clarification, that whole thing of your will be done in the Garden of Gethsemane is not just some kind of a prayer of resignation. It's not just a, He knows it's going to happen, so I'll just pray for your will and kind of let you give a rubber stamp to it. It wasn't some passive, fatalistic kind of a statement. He truly did. He bared his heart before the Father. He revealed his ultimate desire that is what? That he'd avoid the unpleasantness? No. His ultimate desire is that God's will would be accomplished. And you and I and each of us get to be a part of that. So praying, Thy will be done, acknowledges that God has more knowledge than we do, that He sees the big picture, big picture, not just a few minutes down the road, or even years, He sees eternity. It's a matter of trusting that His way is the best. It's a commitment to actively work to further the implementation of God's will. When the Lord's will is done here on earth, it means the best possible outcome for believers, for everybody, really. It can be easy to assume that the Lord doesn't care, especially when we have hardships, can it? It's like, oh, where is God in this? You hear people say that all the time, and with a bleeding heart of sorts. It can be easy to assume that he's just not paying attention, and that's what many people have assumed, is that God isn't looking at me right now. Or it's okay with God if I suffer like this. I think there's a lot more going on there than that. And that is to remember that God's will is that in this life we will have troubles. In this life we will have heartbreaks and difficulties and disappointments and illness and death. And what we're supposed to see, apparently, is God's will in this is still to bring us closer to Him through these. And that even at times like that, our faith not only remains, but can actually increase. And this is all just words until one is in that situation and you're realizing that God is here, God is with me. God is in that situation, that person I missed, that thing that didn't work out the way I wanted. When the Lord's will is done here on earth, it's the best possible outcome for us as believers. Truth is that we can trust God, that we have a loving Father, and that His plans mean the best for us, and He hasn't forgotten about us for a minute. Not a second. Billy Graham wrote that something that we can rightfully covet, I love this, is to possess the will of God in life and want it more than anything else in the world. It is the only thing that can bring peace. And we are miserable people without this wonderful gift that is offered to all mankind. Wow. So as we learn to trust the Lord more and more, we become confident in who He is. And it gets easier to pray for His will in our lives and wait for it. It probably won't be something you pray for only once. I can't think that would only happen once. There's so many different situations and people and things to deal with. It probably won't be something we pray for even just daily. I think it's more moment to moment. being human makes it really likely that we will have moments where we'll stumble. We have to redirect our focus back to the Lord again. Am I the only one? I hope not. I mean, I wouldn't hope that on you, but I hope it's not just me. I think that's the human condition, is we have to refocus our lives and our thoughts on Him. And oh, that can be so hard when the difficulties are right in our faces. But oh, it is always worth the effort. Always. Granted, there are times when the Lord will let us get in situations where we're supposed to take charge and we're supposed to do something. This isn't this looking for God's will isn't some kind of a thing where there are all these different ways people have looked at this. It's not just waiting for Him to do something sometimes. Often it's what is my right proper course of action. I think that's what a lot of people are praying about when they pray about God's will. What do I do now? What do I do in this situation? What do I do with this person? What do I do with what's gonna looking for direction, as we should. But that doesn't mean we sit by and do nothing until then. We pray. Before we act. The goal, though, is that we do these things for His purposes. And this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, and this part of it brings us back to a place where we're supposed to be in awe. We're supposed to have a sense of wonder about God. Not just wonder what He's doing, but wonder, astonishment at who He is and what He does. And that in turn makes it easier to submit to Him. And we realize more and more it's not about my will being done. Amen. Thank you.